The answer to one single question could redefine your entire existence. I know you're intrigued. You got to be. Today, I'm asking, why are you here? Why are you here? What makes your existence necessary? So stay with me as I discuss listening, purpose, and of course, why are you here? Let's dive in.
Welcome to another episode of Why Not You with your host, Derek Wells, where we talk with leaders and entrepreneurs who are doing what they love to do. They'll share insights into overcoming adversity, the systems they use, along with the power of personal growth, faith, and much more. Our goal is to empower you with personal growth, faith, and a plan for ultimate success. Now, here's Derek with another life-changing story.
Hey, this is your host, D. Wells, Why Not You? And we are continuing on with this transformation journey. Yes, the first question was, who are you? Where are you from? Now we're getting into, why are you here? And I love this quote by John Maxwell, where he says, you must know yourself to grow yourself. You must know yourself to grow yourself. Basically, just knowing yourself, now you have a foundation of what you're actually capable of doing. And so now you've identified that now it's time to elevate. You already know what the foundation is. The sky's the limit. Yes. And during your growth, you're going to discover, why are you here? I just remember when I was young, I was in eighth grade, and I was ambitious, y'all. I had a paper route. And I just remember getting up at 3 o'clock. I don't think it was that early, probably more like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, folding my papers, throwing a rubber band on it, had me a BMX dirt bike, had the bag across the handlebars. And I was just, you know, shooting those papers in there. Then I would hit it and I had my route. And then in my young adult life, I had my janitorial service. And then that branched off to home inspection business. But of course, when the housing market tanked in 2008, my world changed and I was searching for the next thing. But I knew there was more in life than just working a job. And I'm not saying that jobs are bad. Of course not. There are many, many happy people who love their careers. In my career in law enforcement, it's always evolving and there's never a dull moment. Never. But it's not the reason I exist. It's not why I'm here. And my mission in life is not merely to survive, but to thrive and to do so with passion, some compassion, some humor, and some style. Hey, that right there, that quote, Maya Angelou. Yeah. The transformation is a process, of course, and it's, you know, just to become the person that God called us to be, you must know why you're here. And with that said, why are you here? It's going to be a common question I ask throughout this episode. Because when you don't know something, you ask questions. And after you ask the question, you listen. And when you receive the answer, you have information that gives you what you need to make a righteous decision, right? Now I say righteous because you should want to make the right decision once you actually get some kind of feedback. And I know in the book of Psalm, David said, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still water. Now, God provides for us just like he provided for David. And when he provides for us, he's providing us with clarity. He's providing us with resources to think, to elaborate, to dissect, and more. He's just not giving us information or providing help for us just for the sake of doing it. It's all for a purpose. And so you think about your home, your community, your county that you stay in, the state, the country, and the world. They're waiting for people like you to get up and share the positives, the struggles, and do it with enthusiasm for life. You know, that's what we're here for. People are always walking around. You're just going to come across these people regardless. People are walking around aimlessly waiting for someone to take them by the hand and say, I got you. I got you. I'm here to encourage you and to lift you up, and also to share the harsh reality of life when you're lost. It's sad, unfortunately, because what I see and hear, I mean, I hear people, they're just being pressed, asking questions, wondering what's going on in this world. Things are just going on in their lives, and they're having a hard time just managing them. Like I said, they are pressed and consumed by what they see on TV and social media. They are pressed from having to deal with the many stressors in life, whether it's grief, loss, anxiety, mental illness, taking care of a sick parent or child or family member who just can't get it together. You know, these things are real. Life is real, and it's not a game. And I can see why so many people become isolated and selfish, because the world is just beating us down. And people are wondering, what am I to do with my life? And they're thinking, why am I here? In John 14, 27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave you, I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid." What is that? What is the one thing that brings you peace? Is it sweets? Is it shopping? Is it ice cream? Is it working out? Is it getting that journal out writing? Is it getting a microphone like this and singing? Doing some poetry maybe? Maybe it's hanging out with family. But I know one thing, we have to be careful not to incorporate a bad indulgence to numb whatever bad emotions we have from not experiencing the peace. But you have to be cognizant of this, recognizing any kind of band-aid that you put on something, especially when it comes to life and dealing with emotions and stuff like that, just your mental, just knowing that it's going to be a temporary fix to get you out of that place where you feel like, oh, I'm at my breaking point and I can't take it anymore. I just need something to take the edge off. I'm going to challenge you. Practice some reflection. Practice journaling. Find someone you trust to talk with. We are here. We are here because we can influence change in the hearts and minds of those who need us most. You just think about it. Who have you leaned on in the past? And how did they elevate you? How did they get you from point A to point B? This is real stuff, and people are struggling. The person who doesn't know that they need you. And it's all based off you just sharing. So don't be that person who believes that, I have it all together, so I don't need help. Because their pride and ego are that silent killer. You know how they say stress is a silent killer? So is pride and ego, because it leads to frustration and confusion, because you're struggling and you don't know how to ask for help. So you're just honing it in, you're just keeping it in. And it's killing you on the inside. So don't be that person who neglects to help someone because of the past either. I've seen a lot of that where, man, you know somebody's struggling. You know somebody is struggling. And I've been that person too, have been struggling. But have you ever been that person that just refuses to help someone because of who they are? I mean, you had the ability, you had the resources to help them out. But for whatever you say in your mind, you ain't telling them directly, but you just probably saying that in your mind to kick rocks. That's the best example of a self-centered person caught up in their emotions. That's the last thing you want to do. All you're doing right now is you're preventing, you're allowing the past to prevent you from moving forward. And it's just a selfish place to be, especially when you know, as a person of God and you're a believer, and you know that people struggle all the time. There's always something that's going on. That's why I love this particular verse here where it says, no one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for a friend. You are my friend if you don't do what I command you. Lay down your life for another. It's amazing how Jesus still prayed for those who attacked him. Even though, oh man, I couldn't imagine like just being in a situation where here you are, you're getting beat. The world is talking trash about you. And a lot of it is just like in that time you had the Pharisees. Man, you had the Pharisees and the religious leaders. And here they are, they're all acting, they're being religious and they're acting more from tradition. And they're trying to incorporate this into the new. So when you think about your life, what are you carrying with you that needs to be exiled from your life? You're carrying these old traditions, these thought patterns, these ideologies. For what? That's not even who you are. It's not even part of you. All that you've done is adopted somebody else's ideology, and now you're implementing it. And it's taking control of you because it dictates the things that you say and it dictates your actions. You got to be able to hack the system. You got to be able to hack that mindset, because if Jesus could pray for those who attacked him and tell the Father they do not know what they have done, man, that's self-control and power. Not allowing others' attitudes or false beliefs to dictate your joy and your mission. Now it's coming back to the question, why are you here? To love your brothers and sisters, to lay down your life for your friends. Now, what does that look like? You know, taking time to check in, assist them with words of encouragement. You know, when was the last time you've actually checked in and was actually present? Not just, hey, what's going on, Doc? Hope everything is going well. Hey, Lisa, how are you doing? Okay. What's really going on with that person? Taking the time, maybe take them out to coffee or something, break bread with them, but be there, be present with them, hold them accountable. That's also being a friend, right? Holding them accountable for what they're doing and what they're not doing. Confront them with the truth, speak life into them, and share the promises of God. And those are just a few things that you get your mind thinking. You could come up with some more of your own. Why are you here? Yes, you're here to share value and knowledge with the world. I don't know what that looks like. I just know God moves on us in different ways and at different times. And when he moves in our life, you will know it. Because you're going to feel it right here. You're going to feel it in your heart when he's moving. And you're going to feel, this is probably one of the most amazing things, is that when he moves on you, you're going to have a new sense of energy. You're going to feel liberated, no restrictions or limitations. You will see life from a different perspective. You're going to start seeing life through the lens of God. The glimpse that he's given you, just with your vision, it's just going to spark and ignite the fire inside of you. That's why I love what David says. He said, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your love is steadfast. Oh Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Now David knew that God had a plan for him, and his confidence in knowing he had a plan assured him that God will not forsake him. So what vision is God giving you? I'm sure he's giving you a glimpse, or maybe just a full scope of your vision. Because I know there's times when I'm just kind of going through my meditation. I know where I don't want to be, but I know where I do want to be. And when I think about where I want to be, man, I see Why Not You. I see conferences. I see touching people. I see restoring people. I see elevating people to new heights. I see people transforming to be the person that God called them to be. Absolutely. And I'm sure you have a vision also. You have to. I'm sure he's giving you something, no matter what phase in life you're in. If you're at the lowest point, he's giving you something. You need to latch on to somebody who's strong and secure. Lean on them. Lean on that word. Now, I know there's a few things can happen. And you can get scared. You just want God to confirm you. Like, Lord, are you really speaking? Is that really you? Are you giving me this vision? But the thing is, it's real. And you have to believe and have faith. And when he gives it to you, start running with it. Myself, I mean, it took me a minute, of course. I think I was on that slow bus. I was allowing the past and my thoughts to overpower me. Even though I wanted it and I knew what I had to do, I was apprehensive because I was like, man, I think it gets to a place where you've been conditioned so long. It's almost scary to go to this new place. But God wants it. God wants you to get there. The thing is, you have to believe and you have to want it for yourself. And when you believe and want it for yourself, world better watch out. For real. I had to work on my own belief and I had to trust that I was capable. Yeah. Trust and believe. I already knew God believed in me, but I was working on myself to believe in myself. And so I know what it's like to have the grand ideas and the desires. But one thing I know, if there's no action, there's no small wins that lead up to big wins. And if there's no plan, you're going to lack clarity on which path to take. Now, there are too many people with amazing skills and abilities who need to be doing more than they are. Like I said, I get it and understand. But what do I do? And how do I live my best life doing what God wants me to do? That's a question of many. That is a question of many. Why are you here? Why are you here? The gifts he had. Now, this is coming from Ephesians 4:11. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Use your gift according to the purpose, according to how God created you to use it. Now, some people just think, oh, God wants everybody to preach and teach. That's not the case. Not everybody's built for that. Not everybody has that mindset. Not everybody has that ability. Just do what God is placing your heart to do and master it. Share it. Share it with joy. Maybe this is what you need to do. Solve a problem. Package the solution and make it your business. Now, anyone who thinks and uses their imagination to create and become a person of value becomes a needed person. Now you've become a commodity. You know, here's another thing that you could just think about to do. What are some things that you dislike that don't vibe with your values that you wish you could change? Listen, maybe you don't like. I'm just being silly here. But maybe you don't like some restaurants. Maybe you don't like the way somebody cooks. Maybe you think they put too much salt in it. Maybe you think somebody don't cook their, I don't know. Maybe they fry fish isn't like it should be. Maybe you want more servings. Maybe you don't like that mechanic because you feel like you're being taken advantage of. Maybe that talker who could, you know, who's quick and has that wit, maybe should be an attorney and represent the marginalized, you know, be that voice for the people who don't have a voice. Now we're getting back to why are you here? Yeah. So this is what you do. Listen to the Most High, and I guarantee that God will give you something. You will get ideas to download, and you'll be able to run with those ideas. That could be why you're here. Share the gospel. Share it through your ministry. Share it through work. That's why you're here. This is D. Wells. This is D. Wells. Why not you? Why not you? Let's go, y'all. We got work to do.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Why Not You? Remember, have faith and believe in yourself. God does. Also, subscribe to our channel and go to our website for more free content and life-changing stories at thewhynotyou.com. Until next time.